In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text is Acts chapter 10, the 28th verse. And Peter said, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or to visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." God's love always stretches outside the box. In fact, it is constantly reaching beyond the borders that we often devise ourselves. And I am convinced that the more we are filled with that love of God, the broader our vision becomes also. There's a magnificent and stirring tale that comes out of the Yiddish tradition that you may have read about. It says that Abraham and Sarah were visited one day by a wandering stranger, and in good Mideastern fashion, they invited him into the tent, prepared a lavish meal for him, made sure he was as comfortable as possible, and then at the appropriate time, Abraham says, "Now it is only right that we should give thanks to the Lord God Almighty for this wondrous bounty he has placed before us." And the stranger, with a confused look on his face, says, "But why should I thank your God?" And he reaches in his pocket and pulls out a crudely carved wooden idol and says, "When I have a God of my own." Abraham is furious at the idolatry this man is practicing and at the blasphemy that he has given to Almighty God. He grabs him by the nape of the neck and throws him out of the tent. And the poor old man, confused, brushes himself off and makes his way down the road when a voice from heaven calls to the patriarch, "Abraham, Abraham, for 70 years I have cared for that old man. I have fed him and clothed him and sheltered him, even though he does not know the source of that grace. The least you could do is show him one day of hospitality." I think the grace and love of God constantly reaches outside the box and beyond those borders that we ourselves so often devise. You heard those magnificent words from the prophet Isaiah, just read a few moments ago. "And the Lord will prepare a feast of food for all peoples. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations." One of the most wonderful accounts in the New Testament that emphasizes this point is recorded in the 10th chapter of Acts. I like that story. Having spent almost 30 years as an army chaplain and now as director of ministry of the armed forces for our church body, I like the story because it's a story about a soldier. A man named Cornelius, a Roman army officer. We're told he's attached to a regiment called the Italian Regiment. And the unusual thing about this man is that he is a very devout individual. He is often given to prayer, to great acts of charity. And the Lord God hears his prayer. Now, here's something for us to remember. He's a man outside the box, if you will, to put it in our terminology. He is not in altar and pulpit fellowship with the Jewish Christians of the day. Quite frankly, he knows nothing about Jesus Christ. Therefore, he does not offer his prayers in the name of our Lord. But God hears his prayer, and God's grace reaches out to him. And God sends a messenger to him. And the messenger doesn't tell him about Jesus Christ. The messenger tells him to extend a call to one of God's sinful human beings, an individual with all kinds of shortcomings, to ask Peter to come, who will explain all things to you. I am convinced that God's love continues to do that, to reach outside the box beyond the borders that we so often draw. And sometimes we don't even consider the young men and women in the armed forces of the United States. Do you know that today, despite all of the cutbacks, there are still 1.41 million young men and women in the United States serving on active duty? And surprisingly, of those who declare a religious preference, the third largest group is Lutheran. Almost 43,000 indicate Lutheran as their religious preference. But the more shocking thing is that almost one-fourth of that group, nearly 300,000, declare no religious preference. And I think God still calls people to bring the gospel of Christ to those folks outside the box, just as he did to Peter. Peter, at the time, we're told, was staying with a man named Simon, a tanner, in a nearby village. It was about noontime. Like all preachers, he's hungry, but dinner isn't ready. He goes up on the roof, falls into a little nap, and God sends him a vision during that time. A strange kind of vision in which a sheet-like object is lowered down from heaven by four corners, and on it all kinds of creatures, many of which are forbidden by the Jewish dietary laws. And the voice from heaven says, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "Oh no, nothing impure will pass my lips." But the voice says, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And that troubling dream vision comes to Peter three times until he is finally awakened by a commotion at the front door. When he goes down to see what's happening, there stands a Roman soldier and two other men who have been sent by Cornelius. They tell the whole story and ask, "Will he come with them?" He feels compelled by that call. Now, friends, I am convinced that in the 25th verse of the 10th chapter of Acts is the record of one of the most momentous events in the New Testament aside from the resurrection. The simple little phrase that says, "As Peter entered the house." None of us has a concept of what that step was. He could have used the words of Neil Armstrong, "That's one small step for a Jewish Christian, one giant leap for Christendom." "You are well aware," he says, "that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or to visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." And he told them about Jesus Christ. And he is amazed that God's Spirit works in that soldier, in many of the men in his unit, in the family, and brings them to faith. And Peter is moved to baptize them. God's word stretched outside the box. Since the Civil War, there have been pastors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who have felt that same call. But like Peter, it has not been without criticism. All you have to do is read the first two verses or so of the next chapter, in which you find out Peter goes back among the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem, where he is immediately criticized that he stepped outside the box. And I don't know how many times I, like so many chaplains who have served within our church body, have been approached by a fellow pastor asking, "So, when do you plan to go back into the ministry?" This is a tragic kind of idea that God's love is only restricted within certain areas. It reaches throughout this world to all the nations of the world, to all these people, including the men and women in our armed forces. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to conduct the wedding for my son, who happens to be a captain in the Air Force. And like all young or many young married couples, they chose to have read at their service Paul's treatise on love from 1 Corinthians 13. And it's a wonderful thing, of course, for wedded couples to hear that love is patient and kind and doesn't envy and doesn't boast and isn't proud and isn't rude and keeps no record of wrongs and always trusts and protects and hopes and perseveres. And like I said, and every married couple sitting out there said, "You want to bet? That's not the kind of love I know." And it isn't the kind of love most of us know, because what Paul is talking about is the kind of love that God gives. He's talking about agape here. And it is in a section in which Paul is talking about the gifts God gives to his people. Every one of his children is given a gift to some to be pastors, to some to be teachers, to some to be prophets, as it were. To some he gives the gift of healing, to some administration, to some the gift of faith, to some the gift of hope. But the greatest of all those gifts is the love of God. I pray that in all the education and wondrous training you get in this wonderful institution, that you get that one gift, the gift of God, that will force you to reach outside the box with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.